Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Pastor was saying we're alive, we're here. There's no reason not to be thankful. Now, everything doesn't go the way we think it should go all the time. Amen. And that's because we have planned it. And so the things that we plan don't always work out the way they're supposed to be. But God's plans are sure and certain. His way is going to happen whether people like it or not. Amen. That's why the end is can't be stopped. It's just a matter of when it's going to come. I mean, he's decreed it, and it's going to come. Amen? So there's nothing we can do to stop it. All we can do, just like Pastor said, Lord, while you're doing what you're doing, include me in the doing. Because we want to be a part of the body of Christ. We don't want to miss out on what God has done and is doing. Amen? So last week we were talking about the advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's a glorious time. And when you think about what did happen during that time, it really is an awe-inspiring event. Think about what God did and all the different signs he showed to show what he was about to do. So let's pray before I get into the message today, and we'll not going to be too long. We'll be share what we have, and then we'll get out of here. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing your word, because your word is truth, and we need the truth. And Lord, not only is your word truth, but you said if we know the truth will make us free. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak your word of truth to our hearts so that we might be free. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you and we give you praise. And everyone said, amen. Now, think about, let's go to, let's see here. Find my Bible here. I lost it. Well, I didn't lose it. I can't, it's not up on the screen. It didn't go nowhere. Can't go nowhere in this electronic thing. But the first thing you think about is, we read about the Matthew story and how the wise men saw the star afar, far, far away. And as they were looking, they were following the star, as the pastor was talking about. The star was shining bright. And I always wonder, why did they even bother going to Herod? Well, they had the star. They didn't need Herod. But that's how people are. God gives you the direction, but we want to talk to somebody else about the direction God has given us. And they did not have to start, and matter of fact, and I hate to throw this on them, but had they not gone to Herod, those people, those kids might not have died. Right. If they had just followed the star. Because after they finished talking to Herod, what happened? The star's right there. You didn't even need this guy. And Herod didn't have any intention of worshiping anything but himself. But things are going to happen, but God is in control of whatever happens. So we first see the star, and then I think you got to go to Luke's gospel, and you see the angels come down, right? We have, see, that's the thing, when we do all those plays, we combine both the Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. Sometimes people don't always see that. But you see in chapter 2 of Luke, verses 8 through, we'll go down to about 14. And it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now notice how God is now including everyone. It's not about a tribe, it's not about a nation, but he said this is great joy for everybody. Everybody say everybody. And see, until the church can get this, that the gospel is not a black gospel, it's not a white gospel, it's not a Middle East gospel, it's not a Far East gospel. The gospel is for everybody. Amen. And it's not only for everybody, but it's for everybody to become one in him so that we can all be a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. But let's go on and read what the angel says. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign of to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, this is Pastor's favorite phrase. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them to into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now here we see God goes to some insignificant shepherds and announces the coming of his son. But notice how he puts a lot of emphasis. First we see the star, then we see the shepherds. Now obviously the wise men came later, after the shepherds, amen? Because you notice that in the wise man story, Jesus was not in the manger. He wasn't. He said when they came to his house. You guys missed that? Let's go back to it. Let's go to chapter 2 of Luke, or Matthew. And it says here, towards the bottom, verse 9, it's chapter 2, Matthew of chapter 2, it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And here it is, verse 11. And when they had come into the house, so Jesus is not at the manger, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. So the two events were actually not simultaneous. Jesus was born in a manger, but by the time that the wise men got to him, he had already moved out of the manger. But the point was that both Jew and Gentile were, the announcement was made to. Because God was about to do a new thing in the earth. And God has continued this new thing, but for some reason, as we said last week, the Savior was sent to the rescue, but they didn't want the Savior. Amen? And that's how we are. Even though Jesus has come, and in some cases has come to our lives, God has not been able to do in our hearts what he has desired to do in our hearts. We still hold on to the old tribal ways, so to speak. And what's the old tribal ways? The tribal ways is the tradition. The tradition. Everybody say tradition. Did you know that all of us are have a tradition that has to be delivered by the blood of Jesus. We have a sin tradition, of course, that has to be saved. But we also have this natural fleshly tradition that causes us to tend towards the things that we're used to. And see, the things that we're used to is not always the things that God is going to use in our lives. You cannot come to God, and we all have done this, and I have to raise my hand and say this. You cannot come to God and say, God, I'm going to be saved, but I'm going to only do it on my terms. You can't come to God like that. Now, maybe we don't say it like this, but we say stuff like, God, I want to go to heaven, but please don't make me go out on the street and witness. Please don't make me do that. That's coming on your terms. Or, God, I want to go to church. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But, Lord, please don't make me go to the neighbor's house and have to tell him about Jesus. Don't make me knock on the door and have to invite people to church. Yesterday we had the Jehovah's Witness come to our house. And I was busy, so I didn't. I said, I don't feel like shooting down devils today, so I just let them go by. But they're committed to doing what they're doing. Now they think they have to do it. They think their tradition is if you don't go knocking on the doors, you're not worthy to be a Jehovah's Witness. And you're not gonna make it into heaven. Of course, you know, it used to be only there's 144,000 who will make it into heaven. But once their membership got past 144,000, that doctrine had to be altered. What's that? That's right. They say, we'll be that great multitude that's in there. But see, that's a cult. That's when you know it's a cult, when you have to change your doctrine according to your membership. But we have to just surrender to God and allow him to direct our path. And yes, he's going to put us in uncomfortable positions. By definition, the gospel is uncomfortable. People who come to hear about Jesus, they think of Jesus as this, oh, if you just come and love me, everything is going to be beautiful. Love is the key. Love is the answer. Love, love, love. No, love is a part, but obedience is the key. Amen. Amen? Because he does not divorce obedience from love. He says in one passage, and that's actually not my message, but he says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. And he didn't say that just once. He said, if you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. So see, it's not about the gooey, ooey love that we think God has, but it's the obedience or the willing to surrender our life to him when he tells us to do things that don't feel comfortable. When he tells you that you have to give up something for him, we can't say, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. And he's going to ask you, do you love me? Well, and then we'll say, like Peter, yes, Lord, I love you. Then do what I said. Give that up. But it's not hard. He says, I'll give you the power to do it, but you have to have the will to do it. He never will override your will, but once you surrender that will, he gives you the power. And that's what people always forget. No, Lord, I can't do it. All right, that settles it. So then give it to me and I'll teach you, I'll show you how to do it. I'll give you the power, the ability to do it. And that's what our walk is. It's not easy to do the things of the gospel. Matter of fact, it's impossible to do the gospel. Let me just be honest. It is impossible to live the gospel without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be born again people, because it's by his Spirit that we come into the body. The Bible says that we're born of the Spirit. So if without being born of the Spirit, we're not even in the kingdom. And then once we get in the kingdom, we don't then all of a sudden become these flesh beings. We have to remain spiritual beings. But let me get to the points here today. We talked about being delivered from the body of death last time, but let's look at what Jesus came to do. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 29, and then John chapter 10:10, which are all passages we've all seen and read and many of us have memorized. So John 1, 29. It says here, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, everybody knows this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what Jesus came to do. Now, what is sin that Jesus forget to cover? I know that's a rhetorical question. He didn't forget any sins. But we think he did because we hold on to some things. The sin of hatred, prejudice, is something that God came to die for. Did you know that God does not want his church to be biased against each other? Come on, everybody. Everybody knows that, right? But why is it that the church still has trouble with color? And that's not just in America, because I know we always think of America, but it's everywhere. Even in places where color is not an issue, it's an issue. In Europe, they used to have a group called the Gypsies. Remember those? We used to see movies about Gypsies. And Gypsies were nomads. They traveled place to place. They didn't really have a set home. And so they were looked down upon because they didn't have a stable place. And the church, yeah, there's still, I think there's even a TV show with called the Gypsies or something. I don't know. I've never seen it. I've just seen it. I've seen it advertised. And they have been ostracized. Matter of fact, the Gypsies were one of the other groups that Hitler tried to annihilate. Nobody knows about the Gypsies because they weren't as big as the Jewish people's annihilation attempt. But Hitler tried to kill everybody. He tried to kill the disabled. He tried to kill anybody that had an imperfection in his mind he wanted to get rid of. He even, when Jesse Owens came, you know, because he had all bragged, and this is, you know, this is a little history lesson, when he had bragged that they were the master race and they were going to dominate the Olympics. And then Jesse Owens, who was ostracized and outcast in America, but then we send him over to represent America, and Jesse and Metcalf dominate every track and field event. And Hitler was saying, well, they're not human. He said, that's why they beat us. See, we're the master race, but they're not human. But this is the thing, and this is the weird thing. Hitler wanted to meet Jesse Owens face to face to find out what was special about him. And they asked Jesse Owens, what was Hitler like? He says, well, he was just a man, but the one thing I do know, he wanted to meet me, and our president still hasn't called me. He never was invited to the White House after what he did. And that my point is, prejudice is in the church because of sin. And until we recognize it as sin, we'll never get it out. It'll never get out. Until you stop saying stuff, well, I have a right to be this way because of what they did to me. You will never be free of that bondage, because that's nothing more than bondage. For you to think that everybody's out to get you because of your color, you are in bondage. You cannot be free. So we have to understand that Jesus died for every sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, the bad thing about the church that the church has done, sometimes the church, and please, if you want to see how not to run the church, look at history of the church. The church has not taken the gospel and run with it as God had intended us to do. But God has, in his mercy, taken pockets and lifted things out. Like Luther was not a perfect man. Everybody tries to canonize Luther. Luther was prejudiced. He didn't like Jewish people. Matter of fact, some of the things he said, Hitler used in the annihilation of the Jews. But God took what Luther said, which was, we are saved by grace and not by works. Because the church had become a work thing. You pay us this, you can do this. You do that, you get this. That was works. So Luther got the revelation of grace, by saved by grace and not by works. And then from there, God brought back being baptized in immersion as opposed to sprinkle. And this is where every group stopped. The Lutherans stopped at Luther. The Baptists stopped at the baptism. Then God did an outpouring of the Spirit, and we had the Pentecostal movement. With the tongues and the supernatural and the gifts and the healings and all these things. And this is really only within the last 500 years. God had to fix the church, but the whole church would not come with it. They all wanted to hold on to their tradition, to their tribe, to their plan that they had. And that's why we have the denominational world today. But even with all that, we're still supposed to love the people in the body of Christ. And this is terrible. We gotta master loving the body before we even get out to the love of the world. But as we surrender and to remember what God came to do, then we can do what he sends us to do. Amen? Then let's go to John 10:10. Another simple verse of scripture. We all use this when we're trying to pray for financial increase. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, the reality is that includes everything. Life and have life more abundantly. That means extra, extra life. He gives you life and then he gives you extra life. Think of it in that way. So that means that if he's going to give you life and extra, that means you need, he has provided everything you need for this life. But notice that he says that this thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And unfortunately, the church, as God's people, we've got to be careful that we're not on the thief's side. Because sometimes the church comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because now we're on the wrong side. So we have to realize that we have to be led by the Spirit so that we're not thieves, destroyers, and murderers. And you might say, well, I never want to murder anybody. No, we don't murder people sometimes directly, but we murder people by, what we say. We destroy visions. We destroy dreams. You can't be that. You're not. You don't deserve that. You don't belong to this. You can't belong to that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Let me tell you something. If you're a human being, you could do pretty much anything any other human being does. It's just that simple. The question is, do you want to put the time in to get there? That's the only test. There is nothing that you cannot do. I'm not mechanically inclined, but if I stick with it long enough, I could probably learn to take apart an engine and put it back with all the pieces together. If I took the time. Addis is looking surprised too. And I'm not going to take the time. That's not what I want to do. I'm not called to do that. Yeah, Michael is. But you understand what I'm saying? We're not limited unless we allow people to limit us. And God is even more unlimited because God can take when we can't do something, he can give you the ability to do what we couldn't do before. And so we have to understand what great things Jesus came to do on the earth. I mean, the angels announced it. It was a big deal in heaven, but on earth, who is this Jesus guy? And then when he gets older, they can't even remember he was born in Bethlehem. They say, this guy is the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He lives in Galilee. The Messiah's come from Bethlehem. Oh, here, let me show you my birth certificate. I was born in Bethlehem. But see, Jesus didn't live in Bethlehem, but he was born in Bethlehem. And they disqualified him as the Messiah because he came from Nazareth. People want to shut you down, but God wants to open you up. Show you a way that's beyond your ability. We cannot get over the debt that we owe to God, but more importantly, the scourge of sin in our lives. We cannot overcome that unless God brings deliverance to us. We all have to be delivered from sin. And it's not so much what we did, it's what we were. Amen? Because some of us, like me, I was not a big sinner. Meaning I didn't party, I didn't get 7 women pregnant, I wasn't smoking weed, getting high, selling drugs, going to jail. I don't have that testimony. But I was still inundated in sin. Amen? Just in a different way, a different manifestation of sin. But sin is sin. And it's deceitful because we think, well, I used to think, well, since I didn't smoke, get high, I don't need God. I want to go to heaven, so I wanted to know what God, but I didn't understand born again. I didn't know what salvation was. I just thought you just had to be a good person. And I said, I'm a good person. Never mind that I was a liar. Never mind that I cheated, stole, didn't obey my parents. Never mind all that. I'm still a good person. Because I'm the grader. I get to grade me. And according to my curb, I was a good person. You're not, but I am. You fail, I pass. But see, that's what happens when you don't have a God to tell you that you all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not me, Lord. I didn't do what they used to do. He said, I didn't ask you what you did. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then we want to show us, but Lord, look at all the good deeds I did. No, all have sinned and you fall short of the glory of God. And I have come to give life and life more abundantly. We need the life of God to transform this community. The life of God is the only thing that's going to touch people around us. It's the only thing that's going to heal people of the hurts of the past. Isn't it a terrible thing that the past has such a hold on us? I mean, think about before we became saved. What were we dictated by? Either our future, our goals, or the past. If you're goal-oriented, most of the time you are able to overcome your past. But if you're not goal-oriented, the past always haunts you. But the past still haunts you even though you have a goal. I'll give you an example. I had a goal to do something. And my dad said to me, and you know, God bless my dad, I don't say this to disrespect him, but he told me when I got married to Annis, because you know, we got married when we were 20. So he's like, oh, they ain't gonna last. You in lust, not love. And then you ain't gonna finish school. all of which is what happened to him. He got married at 21. Got married at 22. My mom was 19. He didn't finish college, and his marriage didn't last. So he thought to project that onto me. So I had to battle with that impression now put upon me. But because I came to know God in a greater way, I said, I'm no longer subject to that. I don't have to, my marriage does not have to fail. And now my marriage is the longest, other than my grandparents, because you know, grandparents never got a divorce back. My grandparents were married 55, 60 years. We're the longest married couple in our family, parents and all, 32 years. Because God changed the course of our life. But had I been bound by what he said, I was like, gosh, how am I going to make it with this woman? How is she going to make it with me? But God came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. We're no longer bound by what the enemy tries to put upon us. We are free from the wages of sin. Amen? The Bible says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be paid death wages. We get life wages. Amen? Amen. So we have to recognize that Jesus is the Savior, the solution for the world's problems. And we keep pushing him away. Even the church, you know, we'd rather picket than pray. You might say, oh man, you Christians always talk about praying. Well, first of all, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if we still see some wrestling, it's because we need to wrestle against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And the only way we're going to change, see, you're not going to change people's hearts by dialogue. The only thing that's going to change a heart is transformation. They've got to get Jesus in there. And then they have to allow him, like Pastor was talking about, to be Lord of their hearts. Because you can still love Jesus and hate people. Until you get that revelation. Yeah, I know it's a contradiction, but without the revelation, if you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, you still live like you're living in the world. But as you allow God to massage that new heart that he's given you and get out all that junk that we've had put in it before, he will transform the way you think about people. Yes, there are no perfect people, and we're not either. Yes, there's people that are out to destroy you because you look a certain way. We know that. But instead of that, just say, Lord, help them to see that if he needed a blood transfusion and I'm type O, my blood will not change him. It'll help him. I said that last time. If you have, especially if you're type O, you can give blood to anybody. Doesn't matter what color, what creed, what nationality, your blood will be, and you won't. And you won't become a black person. And that's amazing to me when you think about it, because God has done such a special thing. But that goes to show us that all of us were created by God and we have all the same Father. Because we have the same blood that flows in our veins. Yes, we look dark. Some look dark. Some look light. Some look yellow. Some look purple. Well, some dark folks look purple, but we're all created in the image of God. And we have to understand that Jesus came to reconcile his family. He said, there's one new man, no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, Greek, Scythian. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And until we get this in the church, we're going to stumble over this issue. Jesus is the sent Savior, the solution for the problem. And in the church, we got to act like he is the answer. You know, we sing the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And then we go out to church and say, let's do something other than this Jesus stuff. Because that works in church. No, it has to work out on the streets. Otherwise, we're wasting our time in the church. Because the test is not in the building. The test is in the street. Does it work in the street? Can people's hearts be transformed on the corners? And all of us have seen it happen. So let's remember, Christmas time is Jesus came to do a great work, to transform the world. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God had put a high importance on the coming of the Lord Jesus, and the world didn't see it. Only a few saw it when he was here. Even the 12 left him. They came back, but they initially left him. But we have to recognize that his ways are higher than our ways. And they seem a little bit odd sometimes. I'm still trying to figure out, how can Jesus die for the sins of the world? Well, because I'm never going to be able to figure it out. I don't get it. How does a man that died 2,000 years ago have an effect on me? All I know is it worked. Amen? Right, Annis? It changed me. She says, you ain't perfect, but she says you're a righteous man. And I'll take that testimony. I want to be righteous in right standing with God. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray, and then we're going to be dismissed.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.